Thank you for the beautiful music this morning. Well, we grow up asking a question. And though we may ask this particular question a lot as a kid, we still ask it, but now in different ways. And the question is, are we there yet? Are we there yet? We are waiting for the time when we've arrived. And for each person, that destination is different. There's that constant looking, you know, the hoping. Okay, almost, a little bit more, a little bit further, almost there. We're doing the same thing today. Every day, there are at least three Corona Task Force groups that come before the people. And not to mention all the other experts that weigh in regarding what we're dealing with at this moment in our nation and around the world. County, state, national. And the one question that's asked daily is a version of, are we there yet? When are we going to be there? You know, when is this thing going to be over? When can we go back to work or school, to life the way we knew it or want it to be again? When? Are we almost there? And how are we going to know? Every day the same questions are asked. And each new day brings a slightly different answer. And we're kind of frustrated. Some people are even angry. Just this unknown future. How are we going to know? But all of this circles back to the word for the day. And our word for today is hope. What is hope? And what do we look to for our hope? And where do we get it? Hope has been defined by some people as a feeling of what is wanted will happen. And that what can be anything. But if you run with that definition or description, then the word if comes into play. If only, then. It's quite possible that some of our hopes may never come about. At least the way we want them to. And not every dream will come true. Will our hope be found in a person? Will our hope be found in a job? Will our hope be found in a thing? So the Apostle Peter gives us a new understanding, a new way of understanding hope in verse 3 of the New Testament lesson for today. And that particular understanding can be our power for tough times. He says we have a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Peter praised God for his tremendous display of mercy in providing salvation from sin and death. I like the way one person made the statement, "For we are who we are because God is who he is." It's God who transforms. It's God who makes new. And those who are born again have a new life. And not just a new life, but also a living hope, a hope that's alive. See, in the Bible, the idea of hope is more than just wishful thinking. It's a firm conviction that's based on the revealed truth of Scripture. So the concept of living hope, this idea of living hope, unknown in the world at that time. But for Jews and Christians, there was an object for their hope, and that was God. In the Old Testament, as you read through those stories, you come to see that whenever the future seemed a dead end, Various prophets kind of opened up the divine perspective of a new beginning. And despite everything that may look a certain way at the moment, from what they could visually see around them, those who hoped in God, knowing that He is faithful, were never disappointed. Because hope gets its confident assurance through God's word. And hope that is based on God and the promises of His word were a power for tough times. Because of where they were anchored. It's the where they were anchored. See, Christians are not only born again, but they have an inheritance from God. So the question is, where is your hope? Peter says to his readers, our hope is kept safely in heaven. So Peter's thinking here of his audience, his context, the day in which he's writing. And so Peter's thinking, when Christians are aware of what is being taken from them, such as their freedom, their health, their money, it's comforting to remember which treasure cannot be taken from them, and that's the mercy of God, the new birth, the heavenly inheritance. If we expand that context to include our day, this is how we see it. See, the stock market can crash. Buildings can burn down. Corporations can go bankrupt. People can misuse funds, causing financial empires to crash. Doctors can fail. Businesses can fail. The love of family members may fail. But the good things God gives will never fail because they are based on historic fact. It's based on Christ's resurrection from the dead. And that hope doesn't go up and down like the stock market. Paul wrote to a young pastor by the name of Timothy. And in this letter, he told Pastor Timothy, tell people this. Command those who are rich in this world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides with us with everything for our enjoyment. Look at what decisions are being made today for us. The effects they are having on so many people. Every day, choices are being made, decisions are made that are, in a sense, put on us and people around the world. You see, but that thing's never going to happen to the inheritance God has set aside for His people. Peter reminds us that God also watches those who trust in His Son, Jesus. And Peter says they are shielded by God's power. And that word shielded there literally means to post a sentry. It's a military term. You guard this. You protect it. Yeah, we have a fight on our hands. And he would say we have to struggle through all kinds of trials and griefs. But believers can count on God's protection regardless of the hardships that we might encounter when it comes to God protecting our faith and our salvation and the things that we have in heaven. See, their confident expectation for the future would sustain them as they went through all sorts of trials. See, when Peter wrote this letter to these people, the Christians were experiencing significant persecution. And Peter took this matter very, very seriously, especially in the context of when he was writing. It was probably the latter part of the year 63 or the first part of 64. Emperor Nero was in power. Christianity was a prohibited religion, and so to practice your faith outwardly was criminal. In July of 64, 2/3 of the buildings of Rome were burned. Nero will blame the Christians. So if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, how do you live as a Christian in the midst of that? You need to have the right thing to hold on to. That's why, as you read through this entire letter, the theme of this letter is hope in the midst of suffering. Peter's helping his readers. The physical suffering, the social stigma, the ridicule, the loss of status, and even the loss of their livelihood was to be viewed from an eternal perspective. As he says, these things were for a little while. Because for Christians experiencing persecution, their attitude towards suffering would make a difference on the effect that it would have on their lives. If they saw what was going on around them as Christians in the middle of all that, if they saw it as unfair and undeserved, it would only lead to a heart of bitterness. If they saw that what was happening to them in the midst of that was normal for the Christian, an expected part of life as Jesus almost promised them it would be, they would see it maybe as a time for growth in their trust and faith in God, knowing that God was alongside of them in the middle of even some horrific times. And they had joy because they knew they had hope for future glory. Paul's trying to help them to keep what's going on around them in an eternal perspective. But see, for their context and ours, we have a similar application. The truth is exactly the same. Same for them, same for us. See, when difficulties come about, we need something that we can anchor to. And no person could have this living hope if it were not for the resurrection. And that very thing can be planted in our hearts. So you fix your mind, your thoughts, your actions and energies on the wrong thing, and you try to find fulfillment in that, you'll always be asking the question, always, are we there yet? But because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, we can have a living hope. Yeah, we need hope today. Our world needs hope today. Our neighbors need hope for today. So here's what we can do. We continue to look around with a prayerful heart. I've probably been looking at social media more than usual these past few weeks. And all the different things that people are posting, that it just expresses where their hearts are at, where their lives are at. People dealing with it in so many different kinds of ways. But maybe it's through what you're seeing, what you're perceiving, what you're picking up on around you, or people that you know in your neighborhood or in your family or whatever like that. Here's what we can do. Certain people just get on our hearts because of this. Challenge you to pray for those people. Maybe pick two or three or four of those people and pray for them. The people who are really trying to come to grips with what's going on in their struggle, pray for them. And be on the lookout for ways that you can offer to serve or help or share in some way, in some concrete way, that would let certain people know that they're not alone in this. And then ask God to give you the right words to attach to whatever you're doing that would help point them to God and help them to have a promise from God. It could be the way that you respond to someone's social media post. It could be something going on with a neighbor around you, someone that you know in your family. But in some way or another, we pray for people. We find a way to, in a concrete way, to meet a need. But also at the same time, seek God in the way that we can attach something that they can hold on to by way of a hope. See, as Peter tells us, let us give the world the reason for the hope that we have. And help people to see God and who He is. These aren't easy days. But again, what a beautiful thing it is just as we're doing right now, we can join our hearts together. We can be together in this, praying with each other along the way, supporting each other along the way, and know all along that our hope is in the right place if it's in God, anchored in his promise, in his word, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we pray for you today that you would, by God's help, see where your hope truly can find a foundational place to anchor. And that's, again, in what God has done for you in his son Jesus. God's peace, God's hope, God's strength and love be with you today and in the coming days. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And let us pray. Our Heavenly Father,